This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection.
What's up, motherfuckers?
Today, my guest is the incredibly talented, influential, music mastermind, mad scientist, Las Vegas's own. Everybody give it up for Trey Voorhees. Let's go.
Oh, you got two of them.
Yeah, because it's two for three. So you know how it goes.
Yikes.
Double. Have you ever watched that show on Amazon Prime about the...
Go ahead, bro. We're good.
The Nazi Hunters?
Yeah.
The Hunters, right?
That's yeah, with Al Pacino?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got like 3-4 episodes, and I was like, okay, this. I don't see how anywhere else they could go.
It gets epic, man.
For real? That shit is true.
They talk about how corn syrup is going to kill people, dog.
Bro, corn syrup is bad, bro.
It's so bad.
Yeah, you over there poisoned up over there.
Yeah, man. Right after a wisdom tooth pulling. Yeah.
You're a man, bro. You're a fucking man.
Hey, I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
For not a long time. That's true. What's up, Trey?
What's going on, brother?
Sorry, that was really loud. That was fucking loud.
You're good.
E Square Podcast, man. What I say before? What was my intro before? I felt like it was good. I felt like the intro was good before. Before we had a restart. Oh, I'm not worthy, bro.
I've been a soft run.
I was looking forward to this. To you coming through.
That's what it was.
And that's how I feel like I'm not worthy,
like
man.
Like Wayne's World. Yeah. That's lit.
So what's up, man? How's the corona life treating you?
It's treating me. I'm trying to get out. Like I'm not trying to be stuck in the crib and shit. But at the same time, I just feel like right now it's probably in my best interest because it's allowing me to focus on things that, like, generally when I am out of the crib, mm-hmm. I'm not focusing on. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense, because my ADHD is like on 10. I'm 32 years old, and it's just like I have no attention span for any single. It's like I want to fucking do everything because I'm gonna die soon. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, crazy. I feel you. So what you been doing in the house?
You know, sharpening the swords, making beats for the most part. A lot of making beats, a lot of collecting records. Mm-hmm. I probably buy like 10 records a weekend.
You hitting Zia?
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like Zia. I like 11th Street Records is kind of like...
That's downtown, right?
Up here? Yeah. I know the owner, Ron, and he really like hooks it up as far as like letting me know sometimes when some good shit comes through, or sometimes I'll just kind of pass through when like he posts something on there like, hey, yo, what are you selling that for? And then that's my...
How does that work? Moving. How does he get them?
I think they all kind of just like
buy and sell and trade and thing.
Yeah, there's people that trying to sell off or liquidate their collections and stuff, and these guys come in and they go, hey, what do you have? Mm-hmm. And so they'll get like doubles and triples and quadruples of certain records, and they're able to sell them off. I mean, I have a surplus now at the point that there's certain records I have like 9-10 copies of, so it's kind of crazy. I've been thinking about almost like maybe opening my own record store online. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. I love eBay. I go back and forth sometimes. There's some times where, like, I get records that are way worse quality than I, you know, read on the Discogs description and shit.
Because they're all used and shit.
It happens. Yeah. It happens. I've gotten warped records. Like, I bought this... Rob Zombie had a band before he was Rob Zombie called White Zombie. Uh-huh. And I bought their... second album is called like La Sexorcisto. Mm-hmm. And when it came in the mail, the box was fucked. Like the whole side of the box looked
so
like
who
it
you
was
buy it
bent.
From like off eBay?
Yeah it was on an eBay buy. Yeah. And
bad review.
Well, I had to hit him and be like, dude, the record's warped. But like, he was like, send it back. And all I've been doing is like sticking it up under like one of those IKEA shelves and like trying to see if I can flatten it back out. Because
does that work?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out.
I'm sure there's a YouTube tutorial on how to fix a warped.
I've watched a lot of them, and the most common way to do it, I guess, is to bake it and like
bake it.
Apparently, it's fucking like super dangerous.
Oh no!
Because like the vinyl that it's like shit's toxic, so.
You don't want to do that. That sounds bad.
Yeah.
What did we used to do on the with the PS2 games? We used to put toothpaste on them?
Yeah, that was dangerous, too. Like, you're really? Just destroyed. You got to be. I remember, I have, like, the whole trilogy of Grand Theft Auto from PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
So it was, like, three, San Andreas and Vice City or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Vice City and San Andreas are unplayable because of
toothpaste.
That type of shit, yeah.
I don't know where that came from.
We were kids and, you know.
We thought we were experts and
I don't know,
man. So what else is going on? Oh, what were we talking about earlier? You about to give me a review on the mushroom bar?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, enlighten me, man. Enlighten me.
So, I've been telling my dad, I'm like, dude, if I get some mushrooms, dude, you're gonna take them with me.
Yeah.
And so I got this mushroom chocolate bar, and I ate a third of it, but like my parents, they each ate like one little square.
Your mom and your dad?
Yeah, my stepmom.
Okay.
Yeah, and my dad, mm-hmm. and they're sitting on the couch. I think one, because I ate one. I actually grinded one up in my smoothie this morning. So, like, one kind of just gives you, you know, a little bit of a, like, I don't know. It doesn't do what a third of the bar does, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So, like, the third of the bar, when I was at my parents' house, it was, like, crazy because, like, I was looking down at some water and I was, like, kind of looks weird, but like I feel like I'm forcing myself to get high, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I'm forcing this high in my mind.
Placebo effects kicking in.
Oh dude, totally.
Yeah,
but there was like a tingle, and I know from experience because I've microdosed before. Mm-hmm. I know that you get this like kind of like sensation that you kind of want to like fidget, you move a lot, like mm-hmm. you kind of just want to move.
It's like you're uncomfortable,
like, yeah, it's yeah. weird, yeah. I kind of explain it like that. Yeah, okay. Like you're uncomfortable almost. Like, and so I go into the bathroom because I was like, dude, I got to take a piss. And I go into the bathroom and I look at the mirror and it looks like the mirror is going to like come down. And I was like, yeah, here we go. Like, we're there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
We're fucking there. And yeah. and it was just like the giggles for like fucking 2 hours straight.
It was good.
And then, yeah, dude. Opening up to my parents and shit, because it's kind of like truth serum too, dude. It's weird.
Oh, really?
Oh, dude. The reason I say that is because, so yesterday I bought another one.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because my homie Brandon, I do music with. His name's Brandon Kahn. He's getting ready to go to North Carolina, and you know he's kind of like bummed that like he has to leave the homies and leave Vegas and shit. But he's going back out there to be with his family, so. I was like, man, I had this mushroom bar yesterday. The shit kicked in. The shit was crazy.
Yeah.
And so me, him, and our homie Adam, we split one in thirds. Because I was like, you got to eat a third of it.
Yeah.
You got to.
Yeah.
And so we split one of those.
Has he ever done it before?
Huh?
Has he ever done it before?
We did it once when we were on tour. We were in Pomona, I think.
Okay.
We were in Pomona, and we split a bag. I think it was like an eighth. Okay, same amount. So, yeah. Like, but that was like actual mushrooms. And I'm not going to lie, the Pomona one, I didn't really feel shit. Brandon, I think he says that he felt something on the Pomona trip, but I thought they were bad shrooms, like, to be honest with you. But this mushroom bar yesterday, bro, we were doing some dumb shit. Like, we were talking like country fucking people, like, oh man, get your guitar. And then the homie's like, are you saying guitar or guitar? And he's like, I was like, brother, it don't matter. It's the same thing. But it was just having us up, and we were roaring. Like, we couldn't even talk anymore.
Oh, I got to try them now.
It was fun. It's stay in a positive mind state. You know what I'm saying?
No, I
mean, that's mushrooms as a whole. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you've ever done mushrooms, stay in a positive mind state. That's it. That's the only thing I can tell you.
Like, yeah.
But yeah, I still got a half of one, and I think I might half that with G Reed.
I think that's. Oh yeah, for his birthday.
Yeah, because I still haven't seen him since his birthday kicked off. So. I think I already told him about it, and it's just sitting in my fridge. So I think I might have that with him and see how he feels
about it. Oh, man. Well, that's good.
It tastes good, too, dude. It tastes good.
Okay, because I was skeptical.
It's not a bad taste, and it's not what you're...
No, I was skeptical
because it's bad.
Well, it was a chocolate bar.
Yeah, it's different.
So I was like, and I don't know who, you know, it's like, you don't know who's making them.
I think the second one I ate, it was a different one. The one.
Oh yeah, there was a big box and a small box.
Yeah, the first one I bought, that one tasted good. The second one, it kind of had a more bitter, like dark chocolate taste. Yeah. It was more of the chocolate tasted different. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was good. It was different. It was different. That was the first time I ever done it in a chocolate bar.
They're gonna have to legalize, and it's gonna be a whole industry
it's
coming
be
up.
Beautiful, man.
In about 10. Well, how long you think?
See a lot of happy people.
Yeah, how long you think? 10 years.
If Canada's already legalized.
Well, isn't it legal in Washington?
Probably Colorado too. The way Colorado be moving, or like probably.
Well, Seattle, I know it's right? Yeah. Seattle, well, I know it's because
that's Washington.
Seattle, Washington. Yep. No, I get them all confused too. Portland, Oregon, whatever the fuck, it's all the same shit. Yeah. But I know they grow out there a lot, so that's why they have a hard. They don't really have like they can't really contain it because it naturally grows.
Yeah.
You know? But when they,
I don't think I'd ever touch some shit that was like naturally grown though.
Oh, man.
Like, I wouldn't pick it out of the ground and just eat it. That sounds scary. That sounds sketchy. I mean, I'd rather have a homie, he pass it to me and be like, yeah, I authorize this.
Yeah.
Versus, like, me being stupid and just picking up some fucking deadly mushroom out the ground. Like, have you ever watched Joe Rogan? Like,
yeah.
He talks to people who, like, do those type, like, very well versed in psychedelic mushrooms. And so they take these fucking monster mushrooms that just, like, send you on these trips that, like, somehow you come back
from.
Isn't
that the fun of it all,
gonna?
Though? Isn't that the fun of it all?
I haven't gone that deep, to be honest with you. I haven't eaten enough mushrooms to understand.
I think when I get old, I'm going to go that deep. You know, you're like 50, 60.
Yeah.
You chilling.
Yeah. I mean, you know? I'll tell you one thing, dude. It definitely opens up that what do they call it? That the
third eye?
Pineal gland.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Gland,
it's really like. What I was telling my homies yesterday is, like, what this is doing to us right now is it's opening doors. And it's, like, it's on us to, like, walk away from these conversations we're having and pursue what the fuck this shit is telling us, or fucking close that door and go back to working our mundane bullshit lives that we always have. And it's weird, dude. I made a fucking radio commercial this morning, bro. It's crazy.
For what? What do you mean a radio commercial?
A handyman service?
For real?
Yeah, bro.
Like, you got hired to do it?
Yep. Wrote, recorded,
oh, shit.
Played the keys, made the drums.
Like, hey, that's where the money's at, bro.
On some Glenn Lerner shit, bro. He asked me, like, he wanted me to say the phone number, like, three or four times in the song.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, and then I even get down, like, saying, like, if you need a handyman in Las Vegas Valley, you know what I mean? Like, I'm saying some shit like that. It's wild.
I got to hear it.
Yeah, man. I'll show it
that's
to you.
That's awesome, bro.
Yeah.
That's a whole lane that a lot of musicians don't tap into.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was, and it's crazy, dude, because, like, when I was younger, probably not even, I'd say maybe even 4 years ago, like, not too long ago, I'd have saw that job and been like, yeah, that's corny as shit. I'd never do that. Like, that's going to fuck up my image or whatever. Like, what kind of fucking image you got, Trey Voorhees?
Don't nobody got to know about that shit anyway.
Make
you know
that
right?
jingle, bro.
For
well,
real.
It's like, okay, so nobody has to know about that shit.
Yeah.
You know about Pusha T and the I'm loving it shit, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, what, the McDonald's shit?
Pusha T wrote that. That jingle is Pusha T's jingle.
I didn't
jingle.
Know that.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
So the original song that was like the whole campaign is a Justin Timberlake song. That's written by Pusha T.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Neptune's produced and everything. You can probably find it on, like, YouTube. It's called I'm Loving It. Yeah, by Justin Timberlake.
What?
Yeah, bro. I mean, I think he's even involved in the Arby's one. The Arby's.
Pusha T.
We got the meats. Yeah, bro. I'm not joking.
That's dope,
Pusha
bro.
Pusha T is, like, involved in all that shit.
That's crazy.
Smart, man.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get into businesses that
people
find out and they, like, you mean that dope-ass motherfucker made that shit? What the fuck?
I mean,
like,
it helps the businesses.
It just makes it that much doper.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, who is that? Is it that audio shop out here that always got the full rap song? It's like.
Audio Express?
I think it might be Audio Express, bro. They always got a full rap song. But you tap into small businesses like that, and then, bro, you can start charging. These businesses love that shit. I mean, for radio, have their shit sound professional and all that shit.
Yeah, man. I think there's a niche market for just you know, creative arts right now. Like, I think that there's a lot of people that have businesses that are important to our lives, our everyday lives, that need creative people behind them. Because I have a homeboy, his name's Thelonious, and he's become low-key, like, self-sustained. And when I say low-key, I mean, like, doing it under the radar.
Right.
Like, but he's become self-sustained off of creative design and creative art. And, I praise him all the time for it, because it's like, bro, you went under the radar and became something that all of us wish we could become. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, like,
getting
he's
paid.
Got a whole ass family and getting paid off of creative design. You know what I mean? He's a smart kid.
That's dope. Yeah, I know Thelonious. He's been around for a while.
It's crazy. He, like, kind of, like, said...
He was doing music, too, right?
Rap. Yeah. And took this creative design shit serious, and I respect him so much for it. I can't wait for his comeback.
Though. Yeah. Oh, he's going to start doing music again?
Oh, of course. We've talked about it before. It's like, dude, if you make a comeback, we got to, you know, you got to make sure you let me produce that shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so, for sure. Yeah, that's...
it's got to happen, dude.
Yeah, I think a lot of artists, they I think that limelight, you know, really can send them off into off the rails, you know what
or,
I mean?
Or the lack thereof.
Or the lack thereof, but you know, you find a lane like creative, like, you know, your creative design or even directing or something more behind the scenes, and then you know you're good at it, but people just want that limelight, you know?
Yeah, bro, it'd be fucking amazing to be like fucking Charlie Sheen and fucking 2 and a Half Men, just fucking wake up in the morning, make some fucking sock commercial, you know what I'm saying? Like, what?
It'd just be awesome to be Charlie Sheen, period.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, I take that back.
In show, for sure.
In that show,
He was definitely the coolest motherfucker on earth
in that
show.
That motherfucker was wild, man.
House on the beach. You just sit behind a piano, come up with some corny shit, and the ladies love you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What a life, man. So what else is going on, man? Music-wise?
Music-wise, I'm kind of just chilling. I did my last album Saturday 9, the last Saturday, because, God, there's fucking 9 of them.
It's over with? The series is done? Hey, 7 is probably my favorite.
7 is amazing, dude. The energy on 7.
The intro is
unmatched.
The intro, you talking the whole song about how hot it is in Vegas.
Yeah, summer. Yeah, summer.
Oh,
in
I
Vegas.
Love it. I love it.
Yeah, that was a creative ass record. I wanted to reinterpolate a song that was about summer, and the vibe was there, and I was like, yo,
we can all relate to it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I love it so much, because it's
my favorite part of that song is the second verse, where I'm literally, it sounds like I'm talking about shooting somebody seriously, but it's literally just a dude who's got like a super soaker that's just like ready to wet somebody. It's the dopest shit ever. I don't know. The creative side of it.
The line you said, we got like 2 choices. You can either shit in the house with a high bill or something like that. Yeah, with a high AC.
Or burn, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the truth.
So how did what's the inspiration behind Saturday series?
It's
been going on for a while.
My name, Voorhees. I wanted to do something that was for Friday the 13th related, and my whole thing is like, there's a stigma around Friday the 13th that's very negative. It's very like superstitious. You know, a lot of people think about it as like, this is gonna be a day of bad luck and all this shit. So, like, my little cult fan base that I have, man, they love Friday the 13th because that's the day before Trey drops an album. Mm-hmm. So it's like this crazy, like, it's almost become like a holiday for me, you know, where like there were Saturday the 14th, like before I dropped Saturday 4, I originally was like done at 3. I was like, I'm not going to do this no more. Like, I'm good. Yeah. 3. So the first 2 were like mixtapes. I was still rapping over other people's beats and shit like that. Sorry.
It's all
kind of cotton mouth right there.
That's probably not the best thing for cotton mouth.
Probably not.
Yeah.
He's okay. Trying to make me drink this water for sure.
I'm trying to get no, this is a product placement. You see this right here? I'm trying to get that ad right there, bro.
That young get real.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I feel you. what was I talking about?
Saturday 4.
Yeah, Saturday 4 wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. And there was a Saturday the 14th that rolled around, and people were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So like the next Saturday the 14th, I put out a video and people were like, what the fuck? Like, mm-hmm. like we respect you. Like my fans, I would tell them and they'd be like, I respect you, man. Like do what you want to do. You know, whatever you do next, you know, it's awesome. And it was just like, we got Black Bag. Even Rob was egging me on that I needed to do another Saturday. That Saturday mm-hmm. shit's tight, dude. And I had made the Dead Bird album in November at Recognize and Real, mm-hmm. and those both dropped on Saturday the 14th. Mm. Like this was post, like me going, okay, I'm not gonna do the Saturday thing. I'm gonna do something else, but mm-hmm. I'm still gonna drop projects on mm-hmm. Saturday the 14th. Mm-hmm. And so after that, I was like, we were at Black Bag, and it was like, nah, man, you got to do that Saturday thing again. And I had records that were already kind of like, excuse me, I was releasing them on Saturday the 14th. Mm-hmm. Like, but it was just little one-offs. It was just all these little one-offs. So one day I took a couple of those one-offs and I put them together and I was like, I could turn this into an album, mm-hmm. you know, essentially. Satin Black Bag, you know.
Black Bag Studios.
Yeah, and then just wrote until I had 14 songs. Mm. And then I was like, you know what? I'll just do this. I'll do 14 songs.
Like, it became like a brand within a brand kind of deal.
Yeah. So everything's kind of got some numerology to it and a little bit of like everything's got fluidity. Like mm-hmm. records go into each other very fluid and I'm all about transition work. Like it feels like the album never stops, you know, kind of attitude. Love that.
Because it's hard to... Nowadays, especially, it's hard to really that much thought really isn't put into full bodies of work anymore.
Yeah, I when I track out my albums before I even go into thinking where they're gonna go in my track listing, mm-hmm. I title each track by its beat per measure to make sure that I know where the beats match on every almost like a DJ would. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Just making sure that every beat per measure I have that knowledge to go, oh, this would go into this perfect because it's only off by like maybe one or two beats per measure. I might even be able to finesse it to where like I could turn this one up to two beats per measure that it needs to be so that they go into each other exact, you know, or whatever. I just do little stupid shit like that.
Well, I don't think it's stupid, bro. I think it's
just something I've always done. So I look at it like it's just that mundane practice that has become to me like the maniacal trade war. Like, because I go crazy doing this shit. Like, I truly, like, I will drive myself insane doing little shit like mm-hmm. that. I'll what would you call it? Convert or whatever, like, files like 15 times just to make sure that the beats per measure are like exact or.
Yeah, well, listening to your music, you can tell you're a student. You can tell you're a student. You're also a mad scientist. You can tell that the you took your time and you're definitely the perfectionist aspect is there. You're not just slapping like a group of songs together to make a project, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think we all are very grateful for that.
I appreciate it. Yeah man. It's funny you bring up mad scientists because like the room in my house is literally like I always equate it to that room in the movie where the guy is like, don't go in my lab, and then the light comes on and like do not disturb. Like,
so where does this come from though? Like, did you grow up around people doing music or?
Yeah, so my parents always tell it like when I was, you know, old enough to talk, basically, they would tell me, hey, put on this record. They'd be able to tell me like a record mm-hmm. by lyric or name or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'd be able to pick out that record, put it on, put that song on. And they were just so amused by that. my parents were metalheads and we lived in a house, where like my uncle was a guitarist. His friend was a drummer and they were in a band and my parents would throw house shows.
Oh, you know, for real?
Yeah, like metal shows.
Well, stuff. That explains everything then.
Yeah.
That's dope, man.
And I don't know, man. I just never stopped caring about music. You know, I grew up in front of a TV where like MTV was being recorded every single day.
So nostalgic, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, I used to have videotapes like crazy of like like Yo MTV Raps and Headbangers Ball, and just, you know, all, because like being a 90s kid, I guess you'd say, you just got this melting pot of like rock and roll that was super heavy and like hip hop that was super
heavy. Hip hop came out the blue. Like
even the R&B was super heavy. You know what I'm saying? Like when like TLC came out and they were like covered in condoms and shit. Like, man, that was hard hitting when it came out. Like my mom didn't want to buy me the CD or the tape initially because of that. But I was like, they don't cuss. They don't do that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah.
Then Crazy Sexy Cool come out and it's got a parental advisory sticker on it. Mm-hmm. It's like, what? Like, because my mom was kind of like, didn't let me listen to records that had cursing on them. But like my dad was kind of like, didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
He would let me listen to like Brother Lynch and Scarface.
Damn, you're really lucky in that aspect then.
Yeah, yeah. Because I could go with him on the weekend and go to Warehouse or Odyssey Records or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd let me pick out whatever CD I want. It didn't matter. Whereas my mom, like, when Eminem Slim Shady LP came out, I had to steal that CD or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Awesome. Like, she kept, put it back. You know, I'm not going to buy that for you.
Yeah.
Like, all right. You know?
Yeah, we didn't have too much shit in my house growing up. Like, they were from, like, the corporate world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and we played sports all the time. So, when we, like, I got exposed to a lot of shit through friends' houses.
Right.
You know?
A lot of that. I'm right there with you. That's, like, ah, man, that's crazy you say that. Because, like, in elementary school, that's really, like, how I got introduced to weed. Mm-hmm. Was one of our homies had an older brother.
Same thing here, bro. The homie's older sister,
Yeah, and it was like, they thought it was funny to smoke weed with us. You know what I'm saying?
So, how old were you when you first smoked weed?
Fifth grade, man.
Fifth grade? Young, oh, damn. You the first person I know that did it before me.
It was wild, dude. Because, like, I remember watching this video where on YouTube or something, it was like, these kids went to jail because they gave some little kid weed in a car. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a video. Like, they were on video filming it or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just think that's the wildest shit ever that, like when we didn't have cameras and shit like that back in those days.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
That was so incriminating for them to do. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never looked at it that way. Like, I was smoking weed in fifth grade because people thought it was funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, low-key, that was the
fifth
whole
grade.
Thing.
Fifth grade. That is fucking
man, it
crazy.
Was wild. Yeah.
And what you grew up out here?
Yeah.
Okay, what elementary school you go to?
I went to Twin Lakes Elementary
Where's
School.
Where's that at?
That's like Meadows Mall area.
Okay, yeah. All right.
And then I went to Gibson Middle School.
Gibson, yeah, okay. My little
and
sister
then
went
I
there.
Went to Western my first 2 years of high school, and then I graduated from Mojave.
Okay.
I went 11th and 12th grade to Mojave.
So you grew up on the west side?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, I grew up kind of like in Boxtown. I lived off of like Rancho and Lake Mead.
Yep, okay.
Yeah, so... Like, my dad lived
Texas.
In those budget suites when they first opened
up.
Oh,
word?
No joke. Dude,
damn.
This shit was crazy.
Across the street from Texas.
Yeah. But I used to live in a house that was across the street from Texas, too. Like, my parents, when they were, like, 20 years old, they bought a house, a little two-bedroom fucking house out over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy, man. It was a wild place, man, because, like, you know, at the times... You know, growing up there, up till I was about 16 years old, you know, that's like the suburbs type shit, you know. But
really?
Like, it's the hood, like right around the corner.
Yeah, I feel
and
you.
And it's like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's weird how, like, there were like meth labs everywhere. And, but then there's like also like Mormons in the cul-de-sac who are like pristine.
It's weird. It's so weird.
Like, don't watch TV. Don't.
Probably don't have no idea what's going on.
Oh, yeah. That's how I look at this COVID shit, bro. It's like, I remember I used to go to school with this family, bro. And, like, they ate the same cornflakes every day, the same, like, rice cereal every day. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Mormons?
Like, yeah, Mormons, dude. And the reason why I went to school with them every day, not just because they lived in the cul-de-sac in my neighborhood, but the kid was, we both had the same first class together. And he was a baritone, and I was a baritone in band class.
Mm.
and this was like seventh grade, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like I used to do fuck shit, you know? Like I'd be like, hey, you ever heard of Rob Zombie? Like, and yeah. I'd let him borrow like Hellbilly Deluxe while we were at school and shit. And he'd be like mind blown to these like,
yeah.
Like I remember when we watched
To the Outside World.
Yeah, I remember when we watched September 11th. That was my seventh grade year. September 11th happened, and I remember we walking into Mr. Schaefer's science class. The shit was on TV, and like, you'd have thought he was like absent-minded of it. Like everybody else is reacting and having, and it's just like that doesn't affect his world. It's weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, religion is fucking weird, period.
Yeah, I mean, they can block you off from the rest of the world. Yeah. It's legit. Like, they can do that.
Yeah. Are you religious?
Not at all.
Have you ever been religious?
I like religion. I like the study of it and, like, understanding of why mm-hmm. people tick the way they tick. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I'm not religious at all. No. Mm.
Yeah, Mormonism is pretty fucking weird to me. I mean, I don't know, but I can say that about every... I Christianity is probably the weirdest shit.
Yeah.
But
I've met more Jack Mormons than everybody.
Well, that's the problem is like they try to when you try too hard to be
perfect,
godly, whatever yeah. the case may be, you're not being human. You know what I mean? Like you're not.
And so a lot of them break those chains.
Yeah, they go off the deep end. You know what I mean? To make up for lost time or whatever the case may be.
A lot of kids I know they grew up Mormon. I'm almost certain are not Mormon as an adult.
They have a lot of drug problems. If they are, it's
family shit. Yeah, a lot of drug problems. Totally, yeah, yeah. You ever
seen that show about the kids in Utah that have to escape, that try to escape?
Like the Amish or something?
No,
like,
Mormon.
Mormon kids.
Mormon kids.
Goddamn.
They try to escape their little towns.
Because they don't know no better. Like, when you grow up in a little town, dude, shit changes. Your perspective is totally different. Like, I remember... We were in this little town in Utah called Richfield. My cousin lives there. And, like, like her husband owns... Or her husband's family owns shit out there. And it's, like, a really small town that's, like, you know, 5-mile radius type of town, you know? Mm-hmm. And this fucking town has, like, one super Walmart in it, you know what I mean? And we were there. I want to say it was, like, April or some shit. And, bro, they still had clearance fucking Valentine's Day shit there. They still had St. Patrick's Day shit there. Like, it's like the shit we always watch on TV and we like Black Friday, I'm not going to be able to get that 60-inch TV for $75. Like, there's like 20 of them still sitting there in Richfield.
They live in a different world, bro.
Totally.
It's crazy.
It doesn't compute, you know what I mean? There's certain things that just don't you go to different regions or go to different places and it just doesn't, like, we did shows in Ely. So wild. This
Ely
shit,
Nevada. Yeah.
So
north.
Wild. So
totally
wild.
Different.
Fucking wild. Like, bro,
the fuck did you do a show in Ely? Who the fuck booked that show?
It was wild. And it was a music festival too. It was a little music. Yeah, it was like
people were there.
There's like a road of like little bars and shit. Mm-hmm. And they have been up there. Little, like,
I've been up there.
And all that, you know?
I've been up to Ely and Winnemucca. I've been up there.
Okay,
before,
yeah. So we were doing shows at this spot that's called Mr. G's. It's like half Italian restaurant, half bar. Oh. Like your average bar that has like a small stage. And and so me and Brandon, we pulled up and we, you know, rocked the show the first night. Shit was popping, people fighting. Bro, the shit was crazy. Like, that's a cracking ass town, bro. Yeah. Like, and the reason why it's cracking is because everybody in the town has nothing to do, right?
Exactly.
So they go to that same spot that's popping. It's the only spot that does hip hop shit. Every other spot does, like, either rock and roll or country. So you got all these kids that they listen to 21 Savage and they listen to fucking Mac Dre and they listen to good music that we listen to and we actually happen to perform, and dude, we were like a needle in a haystack, bro. It was the craziest thing. Like, it was we fit in perfectly. It didn't feel odd at all. Like, and we went back the next day because we were supposed to perform both nights at this place.
Those markets are gold mines, bro.
Dude,
I'm
the second
you.
Night, they were treating us like royalty, bro. Like, they were like, you eat whatever you want. You can have any drinks you want.
Man.
Like, you guys are superstars. You guys killed it last night. And it was just like, Brandon, like, Imagine who are we? Every little town that we could hit, bro. Like,
no, for real, bro. I tell artists all the time, if you hit those smaller markets, especially in the Northwest, from my experience, the Northwest is a gold mine, bro. All those little towns.
Yeah.
All those little white kids that love hip hop.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, dude.
That's how you get a fan base, bro.
You could have played Mac Dre's whole CD. The crowd would have stayed.
Especially up there, because the influence from the Bay up there, yeah, in that Reno and all that northern Nevada, Oregon, all that shit. It's real. Damn. Yeah. So you've been doing music for a while, man. Your whole life, pretty much, huh?
Pretty much, yeah. I was in band in junior high school. And then high school, my grandma had a computer, and I started making little demos on that. Mm-hmm. And then my dad got a computer, and then that's when I was like, I'm going to save up to get a microphone. Mm-hmm. I think Leroy Chops still has my first microphone. No joke. I don't know. I'd have to ask him, but I think he still has my first microphone.
Damn, you know Leroy that long?
Yeah. Leroy's like my little brother, man. Mm-hmm. I really love that kid, man. Mm-hmm. That's like... blood couldn't make us any closer, bro. Mm-hmm. Him and Speaker Box, those are my guys, man. Mm-hmm. Like, have you ever met Speaker Box?
Probably.
Yeah, that's probably. Like, if you ever see one, you'll see the other. Yeah, yeah. It's like, they're like Jay and Silent Bob, the black and Asian version. Have you ever seen Leroy's video for Snoogans or whatever?
Probably, man.
It's crazy. So him, Rob, you know Rob Sayer.
Yeah.
He's like a good video.
Yeah.
He's so awesome. He helped them make the video for Snoogans, and Snoogans is basically just the, have you ever seen Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he does the fuck, fuck, mm-hmm. fuck, mother, mother, fuck, fuck. So Leroy has a song like that.
Okay.
And he's dressed up as Jason Mewes, the J, uh-huh. and then, Speaker is dressed up as Silent Bob.
Okay.
And they did this video in front of the little market on MLK and Alexander.
Okay.
Have you ever seen that spot?
Yeah, that's where Gaz's studio is.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
it's like where they have the car wash thing right there.
Right. So mm-hmm. There's it's like the little mini mart. Is the yeah.
Oh, okay. No.
It's like right. I think
we used
what
to
you're
call
saying,
it the A-Rab. We used to call it the A-Rab, yep.
Right across the street.
Okay,
yeah,
I know
from
what you're
where
talking
I think
about.
What
yeah.
you're saying is like right across
the street. You're talking about the liquor store.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
The liquor store, for
okay,
sure.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And so these guys are standing out front of the liquor store mm-hmm. looking just like Jay and Silent Bob. Bro,
I gotta check this out.
From Jason Mewes, Jay picked up on that shit, bro.
For real?
Yeah,
what?
Bro. Like, he actually got looks from Jay and
what
Silent
happened?
Bob. I don't think it really went anywhere, to be honest yeah. with you. I think he just got the look. He reposted
it yeah.
and, you know,
yeah.
showed love and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah. That's
but
dope.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. I was like, man, you got to do this. They making that new movie, bro. You got to get in on that
for
shit.
Real.
But he might have missed
asked.
The train. But at the end of the day, it's a good record.
Yeah.
Hopefully it comes back. It'd have been cool to see his shit on there, though.
Yeah,
that'd have been dope.
Damn, bro. Leroy Chops, we was talking about it before the other day.
Hell yeah.
When, man, that motherfucker, man, I've seen him perform more times than I've seen anybody else in Vegas perform.
Yeah. That's because he'll take any
yeah.
fucking gig. He's
yeah,
like
he
Samuel
hard.
Jackson. You know what I'm saying?
I love
this. Longest IMDb in the world. Have
bro.
You ever heard about that?
No, what?
Samuel Jackson. He has like the longest IMDb record. Like, he'll take any job.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah. He has most like appearances in movies. And
yeah,
shit.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, nah, Leroy.
That's Leroy on stage.
Bro, Leroy, he just that energy he brings, bro. He don't give a fuck if it's 50 people or one person, bro. He
yeah.
he brings the same energy, bro. And you gotta love it. You gotta
yeah.
love it.
That's why he's always my right before I go on guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always like, Leroy, you trying to perform with me?
Nah.
He's like, of course, bro.
Yeah, man. Because
I know he's gonna get the crowd hyped.
He's
that
a special
boy
energy.
Knows how to get the
he's
crowd
a special energy, bro.
Yeah.
He don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. He don't give a fuck. And by the amount of fucks that he doesn't give translates into the crowd.
Yeah.
And then the crowd feels like, I don't give a fuck either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, man, I wish more people had that energy.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them do some crazy... Him and Jerry Seinfeld, I've seen them both do some crazy shit that I'm just
yeah.
like, I'm not that cool of a rock star. You know what I'm saying? I just don't do that kind of shit.
You remember your first time you ever performed?
The first time I ever performed was like a talent show. It was for a fucking 97.5. I think Mike P was still working up there.
Long
yeah, it was
time ago.
Yeah, I would think I was like... I think it was like 2005
mm-hmm.
when it happened, and... it didn't go nowhere. I was out there looking stupid with big ass throwbacks and big jeans and Timberlands.
Yo, is there video footage of this?
Probably not. Okay. Yeah. This was before I was really fucking around like in Northtown. This is still like Western, mm-hmm. like still like I didn't really have a whole lot of friends on the North Side aside mm-hmm. from like my homie Sam. Or a lot of people know him as Yogi, but like my homie Sam and my homeboy Kevin.
It's funny, I've known Sam so long and I've never called him Yogi.
That a lot of people haven't. Like he has both sides of that, you know.
I'm like, yo, you got an alter ego going on?
But a lot of people know him as Yogi. Yeah, he kind of does, bro. Like kind of does. I'll let him tell that story, but
we had a great
if he wants to, of course.
Nah, I pulled up on Yogi probably 2 weeks ago. Uh-huh. I went over to his house and we was drinking, talking shit for like 2 hours.
Hell yeah.
And
you gonna have him come on here?
Yeah, I told him the conversation we had, bro.
I'm gonna keep it real with you. Even though he's not a rapper,
I don't give a fuck if he's not. Yeah,
bro, he's in the scene, bro. He knows all the shit, bro. He's been around me so long that he knows all the shit, bro. I'm telling you, he's been a part of one of the best factions I've ever been a part of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've known Sam for since I was a kid. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he told me that shit.
Yeah, bro. we got a lot of history, but this show ain't about just rappers, bro. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I know that's kind of what. It's been, but like
I've seen you have like curators and you've had like Tenesse and you've had Urena.
Right.
And,
well,
obviously they're not rappers.
Right. But it's more so my goal was to have conversations with people and pick the brand people that do dope shit and people that are not dope shit necessarily, but just like creative shit and people that I admire. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the people that are well versed in what they do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like people been like some of my homies been asking me to come on. I'm just like, bro, like it's not about me. It's not about or you. It's about the people listening.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. And hopefully I can pick your something. I can bring something to light because you know some people will probably want to ask. Hopefully I can get some questions out that people want me to ask or whatever. But it's not like an interview either. It's just more so just like. I don't know, just kicking it really and
finding out,
peeling back some layers really. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So, exactly. So we'll see what it becomes. But I want some politicians in here. I got some questions for them motherfuckers too. For
that would be dope.
I don't know. We'll see where it goes, man.
Especially for us young folk that don't really get that like side of knowledge. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of us young folk that are very misinformed, bro. And it's like I can't lie like I'm not one of them, bro. Mm-hmm. Like. The medium that we have in front of us just can throw us so much information that misinformation can get thrown in there and just be believed as real information. That's, I don't know, man. I'm very on the fence about how I feel about the internet in 2020 versus how I felt about the internet when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like
it's an overwhelming amount of bullshit. I mean, but
to watch a porno pic, you know what I'm saying? Take 30 minutes to load so you scared your mama gonna come in the room type shit to like literally like this shit is coming to you in droves mm-hmm. for free like mm-hmm. bro it's information it's the overload
wild, wild. It's,
bro.
Yeah it's the wild wild west overload. It's the new wild wild west bro
it's to the point where it's like if I'm gonna keep on you know I guess subjecting myself to how can I put it? Like the vainness of the internet because it's become this huge vain fucking just vanity 101, dude.
Yeah.
Go sign up for Instagram and you'll turn into a vain person. Yeah. Bro, I swear to God.
Yeah, it definitely plays with the mind and the psyche, especially young people in your
Even more so older people.
Yeah, too,
like
yeah.
You want to compete with the younger people.
Exactly.
You want to try to be the younger people or something. And I'm so past all of that. Like, I'm not trying to, like, compete with anybody.
Yeah.
I don't care about a competition. It never was a competition in the first place for me.
You can. It's like, easy to get sucked into it.
Yeah.
So
I
easy.
Mean, a lot of the first events that we ever were a part of is Vegas in a scene that would ever pop were beat battles.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing. It was like, or it was like open mic nights. And a lot of the open mic nights were very much like the Black Book sessions. Like as much as you want to believe, not to hate on shit, dude. I love everybody that comes from those scenes and shit. But you can tell there's a territorial fucking vibe there, you know? You can tell it's like, yo, my faction over here, and we'll shake hands and shit, but my faction over here, your faction over there, y'all people, y'all, you know, y'all not gonna out rock us. You know, there was definitely some like tension, you know what I'm saying? And
I think that's healthy though?
No, I don't. Because every time you hear a rapper ring something like "We need unity," you hear so many rappers in Vegas like saying, "Get the fuck out of here with that shit." And Dizzy, that's right, the Vegas mentality.
Dizzy,
bro.
Right, yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah, bro. Dizzy has across, like, bro, Dizzy, every step of the way, has tried his hardest to try to bring some kind of attention to the Vegas scene in some kind of way, whether it be
been repping Vegas for since you've heard him. Yeah.
Well, not just repping Vegas, but like putting Vegas artists on every time he hits a Vegas venue.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he always does like a contest where it's like the next four, the bottom four or top bottom four. What the fuck am I talking about? Top four rappers that could, you know, get people, you know, who in the city is popping, and he'll pick four rappers.
Yeah.
And he's done it every time he does like the Brooklyn Bowl or, you know what I'm saying? He did showcases and shit for rappers and shit. And like still, like, I can't lie or front. Like, there's been times where I've looked at it the same way as all the other kids that go, Dizzy Wright don't do nothing for Vegas.
Yep.
Nah, man, we just are criminally fucking stuck in this goddamn box that makes us think that that's not good enough.
Yeah, I've been there too, man. I've been there.
What do you want
too.
Him to do? Throw money at you like a stripper? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like,
bro. I feel you, bro. I feel you because.
You gotta respect that, man.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I've been there too. I had a little phase where I was like, especially when I started to get into the scene, and you know, you just gotta remember that he's working. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to build his own.
It's crazy.
He don't owe nobody nothing. Just because we come from the same city, that doesn't mean you owe anybody shit from your city.
No, of course not.
Yeah, you don't owe nobody nothing.
Nobody owes anybody anything.
If you're gonna be mad at somebody from Vegas, be mad at Neo, okay?
Even him,
I'm just saying, like, don't.
I've heard stories about Neo coming up to the radio station telling motherfuckers they can't say certain things and shit. Like,
I don't doubt it.
Oh man, I can't be that kind of character, bro. I don't. As far as,
but
I
some people don't
blue
some,
blood, just like the next person, bro, or red blood. I'm over here talking some bullshit. I bleed just like the next human being. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no reason for me to hide or curve from some.
But he's in a different. He's a little bit in a different world. He's from R&B world, where you're from doesn't really matter as much as, you know, the hip hop world.
You just gotta be a human, bro.
Yeah,
at the end 100%, of the day, you gotta be a human. And I think I think we as Vegas folks as a whole, we just gotta kick the vain shit, bro. We gotta kick the vanity. It's not a fucking popularity contest. We not in no beauty pageant. We just rapping, folks. And like, if one of us get on, let's celebrate that man. And the next person that get on, celebrate that man too. Like, there's so many artists out here that's cold as fuck. And if they had somebody in their corner that was just like, you know what I'm saying, championing them the whole fucking way, you wouldn't have rappers that are depressed and mad at their life, that they're still stagnant and stuck in the place they're fucking stuck in, bro.
Yeah.
The reality is just like, we need to get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anybody who's telling you need to get on through your city, like, I guess Nipsey Hussle is a kind of rare case of that happening. Houston's very big about, you know, hometown heroes and shit. But, like, Vegas ain't holding on to no hometown heroes like that. You know,
it's just like, I compare it to a place like when Wiz came out of Pittsburgh.
That's the
truth.
You
know what I'm saying? Because you come out of a city.
But he's not known as a Pittsburgh.
Exactly, like,
you know what I'm saying?
Wiz
Khalifa is just Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah, what I'm saying is
that household name, more so off of like Fast and the Furious, if you ask me. Yeah. That song made him so fucking famous.
Well, the Black and Yellow song, you know what I'm saying?
That Fast and the Furious shit is still more famous than that.
Well, yeah, but like that was more, but the Black and Yellow song really put him on another level, because it played into football and all those fans, and he played, you know what I mean?
The
so,
Steelers and shit,
but I think those things come natural, you know, those things come organically. And if you're gonna, you know, like, I don't,
if you try to force being the guy in Vegas, yeah, it ain't gonna.
And
know,
I don't think anybody can. Yeah. I don't think that's gonna happen. I don't think. I think it will. Being a man is gonna happen. I think it's gonna be. We have to like look at somebody who's on. Like, okay, yeah, nah, you definitely got that.
Yeah.
Like, but even then, like the Killers is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. Like they had to go all the way to Europe and then come back to really get.
Look at Dizzy, bro. Dizzy gave all you rappers a motherfucking blueprint.
Yeah, it's the truth.
I mean, and granted, he's still
it was independent.
Granted, it was a different world back then, and especially with the internet. But still, I mean, like, it goes back to what we said. What I said earlier is he hit those small markets. And he has a fan base. He can go to the small for the rest of his life. He's going to hit them small markets, bro.
That's the best thing you can do is build a group of human beings that just are so devoted to you that no matter what, like, you could tell other
people. Real people, not internet people.
You can tell people who don't fuck with you to get fucked. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, because at the end of the day, it's not going to steer you in any kind of direction where you need to. There's
plenty of people out here to create your own fan base. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the internet got a lot of these artists fucked up, man.
Well, I mean,
it's an alternate reality. That
like TikTok, bro. Tell me TikTok, that shit's fake as fuck.
I don't have TikTok.
Me neither. But I know people who do have TikTok, and I know that shit, like, a motherfucker can have, like, 100 followers or some shit, and that motherfucker can have a video that has, like, 50,000 fucking views. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, their algorithm
smells
is
fishy.
You tell me. Their algorithm to me sounds like something that's built to make you feel more famous than you truly are. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, they have some psychologists in
it's
there
smart,
when they were.
Dude,
yeah.
It's smart, man. It could be good for the fucking soul. It could also be a fucking treacherous thing, bro. And I think that's what the internet has become. Something that could be a beautiful thing or a very treacherous thing. You know what I'm saying? It depends on how you use the motherfucker.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Very much so. Because I've gone through my chapters where I fucking hate the internet. I fucking unfollow people. I disable my accounts, this and that. And then.
You got a Facebook?
Yeah.
I don't have a Facebook.
Yeah, I do.
Last time I had a Facebook, D-Mob got shot. And it was the craziest shit ever. It was kind of one of those defining moments that made me go, this shit ain't nothing but gloom and doom, so I don't want to be on it. And I think that was my biggest, you know, epiphany about it.
Why did you connect the two?
So I hadn't been on the motherfucker for like months. It was so long since I've posted, I've read, I don't open the app or whatever the fuck, right? And I just so happened to get off work one day, open the fucking app on some fluke shit. Like, I don't know what made me open the app, bro. It was almost like some weird inside, you know, something clicked that told me, hey, man, open up Facebook. But the moment I opened up Facebook, the first post there was Tiari talking about somebody got shot at Undefeated, don't know what's going on, headed down there now type shit. And then, like, a couple of posts later, it was like, here's my phone number, all, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm calling, I'm like, where's this shit at? He's at Sunrise Hospital. We get down there. It was just like, Facebook is just fucking feeding me gloom and doom, you know what I'm saying? And I've already been through it, like scrolling through and seeing.
Facebook is a dirty, dirty place, man.
Just posting some really like, it's either really hateful shit, like you got motherfuckers who's hating on their baby mamas on there and like not bringing their real name up and all kinds of being all slick about it. And then you got motherfuckers that's like talking about hating their life, they want to kill themselves. And it's just like, bruh, like,
it's a sketchy place. It's like the back alley of social media.
I just don't like
it. It's like, I don't know. I don't know if that's the right term just to put Facebook in, but Facebook is, that's like raw mind.
Fucking devil, if you ask me.
But it's all the same.
Instagram is Facebook. A lot of people put the two together. It says it at the bottom of the app every time you fucking open it. But
I got mine connected.
Because I love Instagram, dude.
Yeah, it's great, but it's also fucking treacherous. But you should have Facebook, bro. You put out music.
I think that was another thing is, like, my Facebook from, like, I don't know, really early time.
Yeah.
Been fucked up as far as like connecting my Instagram to my Facebook. Mm-hmm. So I really was on some like, fuck this shit, man. Mm. I really don't fuck with it.
Mm.
It just got really annoying. Yeah. Really, really.
It's
fast.
Too much, bro. Like TikTok's another social media platform.
Never got into it.
Yeah, and it's just like how many fucking platforms do I need? Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Because now I'm kind of addicted to Twitter.
I have Twitter and I have Instagram.
And I have Instagram
strictly for promotion. I barely go on Twitter to really like do anything.
I go on my little rants sometimes. I go on my rants, but I'll be saying some dumb shit, and then I'll go back like 2 days later. I'll be like, yo, I'm fucking. What the fuck?
I draft everything. Fucking stupid. I try to think about it before I do it.
See, I try not to think about things so much.
Yeah.
I try not to think about it.
Look back at those drafts and be like, I'm glad I didn't post that. You
know, somebody screenshotting you.
It is what
you
it
never
is,
know,
man.
Ah.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about there was one day I was listening to Drake.
You don't listen to Drake.
I don't. You're right. I don't.
How'd I know that? I did not know that about you. I just talking shit, but
it's
crazy.
Funny. Yeah, I don't listen to Drake. You're right. But there was one day I was listening to Drake because there's one song in particular I fucking love from Drake, Lust for Life.
Mm-hmm.
That song to me is amazing.
Got a certain lust for life.
I love that song. Bro. Everything he's saying on that record is crazy. Like the beat is crazy. Mm-hmm. Ah, that shit's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'm listening to that album, the Houston Land. What is it? So Far Gone.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm listening to that album, and I start going through my Twitter. No shit, man. I just searched up Drake in my shit and just started deleting every tweet that I was saying bad about this man. Because I was like, how the fuck I'm gonna diss this man? Like,
what don't you like about Drake?
I don't know, man. It's too.
Is it his
face? Too clean.
Is it his face?
Nah, I think it's too clean for me. It's a little too. I'm kind of a dirty, gritty, more like I don't like my shit that sounds too polished and mm-hmm. shit. So like I really like cats like Conway, Griselda.
Oh, I love them, bro. Benny the Butcher. Oh man.
Yeah, I still listen to old school rap and mm-hmm. shit. Like I don't really listen to a whole lot of.
It's crazy how all that older shit is aging a lot better than. Like early 2000s shit, you know what I mean?
Because, I mean, you're talking about music in a can, bro. Mm-hmm. If you ask me, that's what it is now. It's like, go ahead.
Yeah,
it's microwave music.
For real, yeah.
Microwave music.
There's obviously a formula, and they just need the right artist with the right image, and then they're going to.
I think part of it's production, you know what I'm saying? I think we've become too accustomed to utilizing samples as a kind of like. Mm-hmm. An assist, you know what I mean? It's always there
for us.
It's
almost a cheat code.
I mean, because, man, you could either make your own, you know, hi-hat rolls and snare rolls, and that'll take you, what, like a couple of months or maybe a year to learn how to do well, or you could just go download D-Cap's drums that knock or whatever and turn around, and next thing you know, you got the best hi-hat rolls in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's the new norm.
Yeah.
I have sound packs from J Dilla that are official. I have sound packs from Chad Hugo that are official. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're talking about stuff that these guys really used.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man. It's kind of a weird world we live in where, like, we've become very accustomed to that. But in the same sense, it's really no different than me digging for records.
Mm-hmm.
I was just having this conversation with Hack the Mac and my homie Trey Charles. Like, bro, we be digging for records. We're very big on, like, soul records and, like, just finding shit that's kind of obscure, too, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And, you know, that vinyl shit really hits to us, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
It's a different feel to it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That old school shit. And I think a lot of that attributes to what I listen to, like, what I listen to personally. It's, like, I listen to, like, Big L's first album a lot, like, Lifestyles of the Poor and Dangerous. Mm-hmm. Like, I listen to, like, A Tribe Called Quest first album, you know, People's Instinctive Travels. That's a great album that has, like, these crazy, like, the way they take one sample and then layer another sample on top of that, and then like they all are uniform. Like, that's my new thing in production too, is like making these mosaics of music, if you will, or these mm-hmm. like kind of like Picassos of sounds, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll take something like a single stab off a record now rather than like 30 seconds of a loop or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll do that too, don't get me wrong, I do all that shit, but now I'm like into like finding like, oh shit, this string is sitting out for a little bit by itself. I'm going to steal that, and I'm going to put that on fucking everything. That'll be like a special sauce. I could turn it into chords. Like, I basically turn it into an instrument. You know what I mean? Like, its own instrument. And then I start doing shit like that.
Then but the mad scientist kicks in.
Keep it, yeah. Like, something I do a lot. Like, a lot of people don't know this, but I've been collecting drum records, right? Like records that have just drums on them, you know, drum breaks and shit. Mm-hmm. And so, like, what I started doing is, you know, some drum breaks, that you either have the drum break and then you build the beat around that, or you're sitting there trying to, like, fit 100 different drum breaks to this perfect sample that you don't want to fuck up, right? So what I start doing is I start taking the middle of the record, you know, the middle of the record just has pops and clicks and shit in it, right? Dirty record noise. Mm-hmm. I'll take that and I'll put the record on that and I hop on my drum set and I make the fucking drum break I want to make. Mm. Record that to my MPC, chop that up, and then put that to the sample, and then I have some shit that sounds exactly like it's supposed to come off the fucking records. Like, it be making me, like you said, mad scientist. That shit fucking makes me so more excited to make music again. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Why do you have to? That sounds like a lot of fucking patience, man.
Damn. There's a lot of, like, maneuvering microphones around to make sure that the sound is perfect.
Do you have an in-home studio?
Yeah. I a lot of the stuff that I started accumulating when I was working at Recognizing Real and Black Bag, I took a lot of that home with me. Like, if it wasn't Rob's, it was mine. Mm-hmm. I was taking it home with me and making sure that, like, I had something at the crib just in case this shit did, you know.
Yeah. Talking about Recognizing Real, I was telling Brandon, I'm so mad that looking back, I never went.
You never went to Recognizing
Real? I was playing ball. I was, you know what I mean? I was playing ball. I was doing whatever the fuck I was doing. What years was it open to?
Oh, that's a good question, man. Oh, my God. The Instagram page will probably tell me better. It was like the 2010s.
Because 10, I graduated 2010. I don't know if it was open.
I'm going to keep it real with you. I could probably pull out my phone and find out. Because I have an Instagram page that's still live.
Yeah.
I've never taken it down, so.
Yeah, I was just looking at, because having you coming on here, I was looking at Black Bag Studios, old Instagram, and that's what I was, that's what I was telling you about the ski mask. That
little
ski
mask story. Yeah, we have a video on there of ski mask. Yeah. They actually recorded a video. I was in there like 2015, Recognizing Real.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Yeah, I was telling Brandon, I was like, man, I used to hear about it, and I remember hearing about it. I remember seeing it on Facebook and on Instagram. Yeah, Instagram was around back then.
Yeah,
it was. And I remember seeing it on the internet. I was like, damn. Like, and now looking back at it, I was like, that was a turning point, I think, for at least kids. A lot of kids, I mean, you had kids coming from all over the city, but for artists, especially in Northtown, it's definitely
so many artists, man. Chop 808, he goes by Rico Black now.
I remember Chop. Yeah, I know Chop.
Chop was one of the first artists that fucked with us at Recognizing Real. For real? He would come in there, and I swear to God, bro.
He got great energy.
3-4 people there, but like you said about Leroy Chops, he'd have a whole band there, and they would rock that motherfucker. And now he's doing House of Blues. Oh, my God, dude. So much respect to that kid, bro. Yeah. Like, straight up.
He's doing House of Blues now?
Oh, yeah.
For real?
I think the last, like, couple of shows they've done, they curate their own shows.
I've seen that. With Magnesia and all them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorrell and shit.
Sorrell, I know. Yeah, I've seen that.
Good dudes, man.
Super cool. Yeah, I want to have Sorrell and talk to him. Magnesia's coming up.
A lot of little factions, Wave and them, the Tribe Kids, Rob Falco. Wow. Rob Falco basically became a staple there, you know what I'm saying? Leroy.
I would pay a lot of money to see Rob Falco perform, bro. Well,
he would stage dive at that place, bro. He would literally
stage dive. I bet.
Take his whole shirt off, white ass.
Hairy ass chest.
Take his whole shirt off, jump on the crowd.
I keep telling him to say that shit, man.
It was the funnest stuff ever. When we used to play Black Bag, the crowd used to go crazy, bro. Mm-hmm. Crazy. They love Rob Falco. That was a venue that loved Rob Falco for sure. Like it had a lot of love for Rob Falco for sure.
Yeah, Rob Falco's a great dude. When I was living with him, He started selling his equipment. He like fucking tore down the studio. Yeah. I'm like, Rob, what are you doing, bro? Because he's so knowledgeable.
He was low-key over it when we were working. Yeah. Like, when we were coming towards the... Like, it was weird. He would have these spurts where he'd be, like, ready to give up. He was just, like, over it. Mm-hmm. But then, like, something would happen where he'd be like, no, we got to get our LLCs. We got to, you know, we got to get our DBA. We got to get our business license and all this kind of stuff. And it's just like... I'm kind of thankful that it went the route it went because it seems like he's kind of happy and doing the extracts and being a part of that business.
Yeah.
I do wish he would still do music because I do think he is a brilliant mind as far as like how music works. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll argue with you to the death that he knows better than you do. And by all means, I ain't mad at people that do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I get it. You know, it's a very subjective language. Music as a whole is a very subjective language, and you know, there's certain artists he listens to I can't vibe with, there's certain artists I listen to he can't vibe with, like
he's a different mind for sure. But he's very knowledgeable in the sense of engineering
for sure,
and
I mean he's recorded and engineered some of the best. You know what I mean? Like I mean, he's recorded and engineered Ski Mask. He's, you know, been in the studio with the Ronnie Suicide J. Boys, Suicide. Ronnie James, a lot of cats that like Brandon kind of like helped us kind of bring into the. I remember when they had Ski Mask, bro. I was at Fry's. I was picking up like stupid little electronic knickknacks here and there, right? Whatever knickknacks. I can't believe I just used that word.
You're getting old, bro.
For real. So we in the aisle, me and my wife were just chilling, and. This fool FaceTimes me, Rob Falco FaceTimes me, and he's like, yo, what's good, man? I'm like, yo, what's good? And he's like, yo, look, check it out. And he points the fucking camera at Ski Mask. Mind you, bro, I'm not hip to the game, bro.
Oh, you didn't know who he was?
Not at all, bro. So I'm like, hey, what's up, bro? How you doing? And he's like, what's up, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, who's that dude, though? why are you showing me this dude on the camera, bro?
That's funny. That might work in your favor, though, like when you just treat, you know what I'm saying? You just treat somebody like a regular dude.
I've been in a lot of dressing rooms with some way more famous people than me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was just backstage at Brockhampton's album release in Los
they
Angeles.
They are hard as fuck.
Bro, I'm...
They
bro,
are
we,
hard as fuck.
We were sitting next to Shia LaBeouf, bro.
Real?
No joke, dude.
I would have fanned out.
It was fucking wild.
I would have fanned out.
It was fucking wild, bro. It was an experience for sure. For me and my wife, it was wild. But we met them all. You know, I'm kind of close with one of the members, Don McLennan.
Okay.
That's like my guy. Like, I fucking love that
kid. How'd you meet him?
Through a friend of ours, Victor. Victor I've been friends with since I started making music, like taking rap shit serious. He used to go by Magic Narcosis, and him and Dom used to play Skate, the video game, and they just got super, like, they used to have like a skate team, and they made skate videos, and they took that shit serious.
So
bro.
He's from out here?
Real life. No. He's from like Connecticut or something, dude. He's like,
Yeah, they're hard. I saw them perform last year. Yeah, at what was that festival called?
Day in Vegas.
Day in Vegas. Yeah, I saw them perform.
Dom, dude, anytime Dom comes out here, Dom is probably one of the most amazing human beings on earth. I'm gonna keep it real with you. Like, he's such a good spirit. Every time they come out here, dude, he's always got me and Amy on will call.
Dope.
It's like, hey, dude, I got you guys tickets, or I got you guys wristbands, or I got you. You know what I mean? It's just like, dude, thanks, bro.
Yeah.
Fuck. We're never expecting shit like that. Yeah. He's such a good person, man.
Yeah.
And, but we were in, you know, their dressing room or whatever, and we're just amongst all these people, and it's hard not to just not be abnormal. Like, I don't want to be like, hey, you're fucking so-and-so. Like, I don't know if that's what they want. You know what I mean? So in
you can't.
But we did talk to people. Like, we talked to Joba for like fucking 30 minutes, and you know, there was a couple of people. Like, you know, we bumped into Ian.
Ian Dior?
The main Kevin Abstract.
Oh, okay.
I think that's his real name.
Yeah.
Right? But we bumped into that the main dude. We bumped into that Dominic Fike dude. He was there. We bumped into JPEG Mafia. Have you heard of any of these guys?
I've heard of JPEG Mafia.
Okay, yeah. He's wild on stage, bro. Yeah. That was an incredible
this
show.
This was in L.A.?
Yeah. Okay. And my homie Victor Roberts, he's on their last album. Okay. Like, he's the last track or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, he came out on stage, and he's, like, sitting on the stage, and the whole crowd's going crazy for him. That was an amazing situation for me because, like, Magic is somebody I grew up with. So, mm-hmm. like, I love Magic to death, dude. That's like my brother. You know what I'm saying?
Word.
It's just like Leroy. You know what I mean? Yeah, like blood could make us any closer.
Yeah.
Like he lives all the way out in L.A. Like I don't really get a whole lot of time with Magic, but when I was living in Long Beach, I would go over to L.A. and fuck with him. Mm-hmm. And dude, it's wild, bro. Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. You definitely. Does that make you want to perform more when you see?
Oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah, does that start itching?
I mean, to see them as well off as they are with the independence that they had for so long, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? That's an amazing, incredible feat in its own right, too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day, like, that's something I strive to get is that cult status, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, I've been working on that my whole life. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, when I was a little kid, you know, like 7, 8, 9 years old, I used to walk around the grocery store and interview myself. You know what I'm saying? Like my mom would be like, "Why the fuck are you talking to yourself?" And I'd be interviewing myself. Like legit, like
that's how you gotta. I mean, you believed in yourself so much.
What we doing right now, I used to do when I was 7, 8 years old. Like
going through it in your head. Yeah.
And I would do it for hours.
Visualization is all it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would like to think that was just manifestation, you know, mm-hmm. me knowing that I was going to get to this point, you mm-hmm. know. And I don't think about it. Like I was just talking to Dom a couple of days ago about like how I pull up to my day job and I like bawl my eyes out listening to his verse on the new album. There's this new song on there. It's called Sugar. Mm-hmm. And his verse is very like, you know, I move mountains on my own. Don't need nobody's help. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's very like I could do this. Like I'm not going to make life's misery is not going to make me miserable. Mm-hmm. Like it's a very like strong mantra.
Mm-hmm.
And bro, every time I pull up to work, I listen to that verse because it's just like it's so like
you need it,
bro.
Yeah.
Jump off the fucking cliff, trade. Like you don't need to be at this fucking day job no more. You don't need to be doing this shit no more. Like
it eats at you, huh?
Yeah. Because I got a day job and I know that
I mean,
there's studios that are literally like, bro, you know you don't have to do that. You know you can come rock with me and
we can come up with something.
I don't want to do engineering no more, man. I don't like the business. It's not something.
I just might be I like engineering
my shit. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't really like get a kick out of recording and mixing and mastering like that. I get a kick out of making music. Like so making songwriting, making beats.
Yeah.
That side of it.
Well, that just might be your end right there. Yeah. Engineering and then you know what I mean?
I mean, maybe. I've done it 3 times, and every time I've gotten bored and annoyed of it.
So yeah, it's harder to – I feel you,
it
though.
It feels more like a day job, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel you. You don't really want to spend too much time. Like, especially with that, if you're not in it, you don't want to, you know, waste nobody else's time either.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I feel you. So how did the Black Bag Studio start, man? How did you guys come into that? Because that studio was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, Recognize and Real. That's what it was. Is that Recognize and Real closed down.
Mm-hmm.
It was about to be me moving to Guam to go open up a studio out there.
Guam?
Crazy, yeah.
With
my business partner, the person I was with, Recognize and Real. Okay. His mom and his family lived out there.
Mm.
And so he was like, yo, I'm going out here. Do you want to make a move with me? And I'm going to keep a real family and you know, my friends and shit really kept me here and kept me in Bay. I mean, I had already done the traveling around California, and that's not even like 1,000 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a little bit further
Guam
than 1,000.
Seems.
It was wild. I was really like, we just got done. Our lease on our house was over, but then I moved into my mom's crib. Because, like, of course, since our lease is over, we thought we was going to live in my mom's house for like a month, and then I was going to fly out to Guam. That's just what it was. That didn't happen. We ended up living with my mom for a little bit. I ended up losing my job, bro. Like, legit losing my job. Like, I got laid off. And that should have been a cue. Like, that should have been a thing that should have been like, hey, man, maybe this trip to Guam ain't such a bad idea. You know what I'm saying? Because they gave me like a...
what the fuck were you going to do in Guam, though, bro?
Record people. There was people on the island. Reggae artists and all kinds of like island music. Just rappers, too. Like, there's people out there that just... They got holes in the walls that they recording in. Yeah. And we had a whole fucking... $20,000 mixing board and another $10,000 worth of like studio equipment, like microphones and speakers and just shit that looked good that we could just put in a room and charge motherfuckers to get on or figure out.
That would have been a crazy experience.
It would have. Yeah. But I think Recognizing Real was enough of a crazy experience for me to like jump that far. Mm-hmm. And so like the next move was kind of like, well, I enjoy doing this shit and I don't have a job. I can't live off unemployment. This shit's gonna dry up sooner or later. Mm-hmm. So my whole thought process was just like, all right, so let's think about how we can, you know, we can do this without me having to have a studio or something, right? Mm-hmm. And I did that for probably about a month, and then Rob came at me and was like, yo, I just got the like fucking deal of a lifetime on a room, and I was like, you gotta be joking. He's like, it's already ready to go, bro. You have no idea. And I was like, all right, let's go check it out.
Yeah.
And then we paid 3 months worth of rent, and we was in there like swimwear.
That was such a great studio, man.
But the crazy thing is the dude that ran that studio that we was paying rent to, he went and got a job at 11th Street Records.
That's your boy over there now?
That's a recording studio. You know that, right?
11th Street Records?
It has a recording studio.
I didn't know that. Hold on. I have so seen a picture.
Amazing,
yeah.
It's so amazing.
Yeah, it's elaborate.
It's so amazing.
Yep.
So...
elaborate.
You know, full circle or whatever. I'm over here talking to Ron and shit, and he's like, bro, let's get you in here, man. Mm-hmm. Let's get you in here. And I'm just like, dude, this is crazy that, like, the guy who ran Black Bag, you know, like, we was paying that motherfucker rent. Now, like, I could potentially be in his position. It's kind of wild.
Damn. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a small town, you know.
It is, man. And everybody knows who they are. Everybody knows who everybody is. Without even, like, you don't even have to know the person. You know the person, if that makes any sense. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's funny because that's actually how I met Rob. Well, I knew Rob before, but that's how me and Rob really clicked.
Okay.
I didn't really. I think I saw you one time up there at the Black Bag Studio.
Yeah, I remember seeing you across the hall with your homies and stuff. Yeah, I never really got to
see some like little kid shit. Yeah. It's so funny, bro. Because we had that studio. We came in. I think the last we were only there for 6 months, and then right down the hall. And I got that studio for my artists so they can just have somewhere to go record. Mm-hmm. But then it turned into kind of like the kicky spot, and then it turned into like I had no control. I lost control over it. You know what I mean? And then we had
it's
to get...
It's kind of what happens in studios.
Yeah.
Keep it real with you.
Because
like, you don't just keep control of like how much time you're spending with each person that comes in that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I was kind of like... I was paying the bills there.
Yeah.
But I gave a few people the key. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to be there all the time. Because I don't have time to be going down there, coming back, whatever. It's for my artists or whatever. And then producers started coming in and engineers
that's when
started
doing, like, management.
Yeah. And then engineers started coming in. I was cool with all that until, like, you know, Friday and Saturday night, things got a little sticky sometimes. You know what I mean? It's drinking and shit. And, But the environment wasn't really what we were looking for because we had to, like, keep it down sometimes, couldn't smoke, you know what I mean? So, and we actually, me and Rob, that's how I ended up moving in with Rob because we were moving out the same day. We were moving out of our studios the same day at the same time.
So you guys got the same kind of notice we got then?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he popped in, he saw me, like, my door was open, I was packing all my shit. And then we're like, what we gonna do, bro? And then he's like, bro, I'm taking my shit to the house or whatever. And then we ended up doing that. So
that's smart.
So funny.
Yeah, I remember that day that we it was crazy. We got like a 30-day notice. It was like, hey guys, no harm, no foul. Like you knew this was coming, you know, this was on a, you know, month to month thing. Mm-hmm. So we're like, all right, for sure, fuck it. You
I wonder
know,
what's
we got
in there
30
now.
More days. That's a good question.
When I was moving out, I saw a couple studios moving in, though. So I'm trying to figure out if they just didn't like us. I know they didn't like us though. I don't know about you guys.
It could have been some bullshit. I know we got rowdy sometimes. We would be all the way out in the fucking
in that alley smoking,
not just in the alley smoking, but just like in the hallway, you know, just in and out too crazy. I mean, some cats don't respect the fact that you just said, "Hey, this room is big enough for maybe two or three people in this bitch." You know? People don't know how to respect shit. It's just what it is what it is.
Yeah, know? I couldn't imagine. I mean, if you want to
bring that whole team.
Yeah, you want to bring the homies to sit there and just do nothing. Like, you
know, yeah. Some people like to be admired, man, and that's kind of what it boils down to. I remember I'd have people that were in there that would do like a 2-hour session, and like the first hour they would have like a song that was ready to record and stuff like that, and like the second hour, it'd be like, all right, man, well, I got to mix your record, you know what I'm saying? I got to put in work on this or you're going to leave here going it don't sound right? Yeah. And not to say that it takes that much time to mix a record, but just like I would get to like working on vocal buses and trying to make shit sound good, and they'd be like, "Yo, you think we could like freestyle on a track real quick and like, you know, I just want to record just a little bit more." And it's like I get it that you're eager to record because that shit just got out some kind of like energy out of you or adrenaline out of you that just like you just don't want to contain, you want to continue to fucking let it out, but like, bro, you got to give me time to mix this shit or it's gonna come out sounding, you know, nasty. And it's just like
they're amateurs, you know what I mean, working with a bunch of amateurs.
You work with a lot of them. You got to remember, dude, I was in my bedroom for years before these, like, and not working with plugins, not working with any of that stuff, like just being maniacally critical of my own music to the point where like my ear is kind of savage, you know what I'm saying? That's not to boast or brag, but like
you're trained.
I'm kind of crazy about my ear. Like, is it Drake ear? No, you know, it's Trade ear, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like some folks don't like Trade ear, you know what I mean? And they'll expect their ear, you know what I mean? It's like, if you think you're good at this shit or you think you know what you need out of music, then like you should probably study how to do this your fucking self, so that you don't have to worry about a guy like me telling you that this sounds bad.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we don't know what sounds bad. We just don't. It doesn't sound good to us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like having arguments with motherfuckers about, you know, hey, if your album isn't, you know, recorded at 14, a negative 14 LUFs and you know, at negative 12 decibels, like your mix is gonna sound like mud on fucking Spotify and fucking Apple Music. And it's like, bro, who gives a fuck when songs like Look At Me got millions of fucking plays, bro? You know, from XXX. Like, cause dog, that fucking beat, it sounds like
terrible.
Like it was recorded on a boombox, and it sounds amazing, if you ask me. Like
it's terrible in the quality, but it worked. You know what I mean?
Come from punk rock, bro. Yeah, I come from grunge, so like shit like that makes me happy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Hearing,
because you know it's not. That's what you said, that like tight. You know it's not polished. It's not like commercial in any sense.
It's meant to give you a feeling, bro. Yeah. Polish doesn't give you feelings, bro. Polish just goes, oh, it sounds really clean.
Too clean. Yeah. It's almost fake.
I don't like it, dude. I can't get jiggy with this shit.
No, I feel you.
Can't get jiggy with this shit.
Oh, man. So how you feel about to what artists you fucking with now from the city?
For the most part, G Reed, I fuck with like the Tribe Kids. They're so dope to me. I just think they're like a cool little collective that I think that they should tour and blow the fuck up. They should already be blown up. Fuck COVID. I fuck with Hack the Mac like the most. Free De La, because man, we need that man's music back out here, man, because De La to me is one of the most incredible writers that we have in Vegas. I've seen it in action. I've recorded that man. He's a brilliant mind. It sucks that, you know, he's locked behind bars, and I really hope he gets out soon, man. I love his whole team, the Pack Boys, man, Grazi and all, you know, Igloo. That's my little home, like, pimp homie, man. He's so tight. He be on that Mac Dre shit, but he white and shit. He's so cold with it. His tongue is so dope. He's so smooth. And I don't know, man. I fuck with a lot of cats. I fuck with Teej. You know what I'm saying? Teej got such a crazy sound, and I'm trying to, like, hey, man, I'm trying to mellow you out, though. I'm trying to make, like, that crazy, slow,
yeah.
like, I don't know, man, like, kind of DJ Premier, but also kind of, like, in that same vein where you're at.
Do artists give you, like, freedom in the sense of, like...
All the time. Okay, cool. I don't think they ever try to sweat me on how shit's supposed to sound. Cool, they just hear me play shit and go, let me have that, let me have that. I've never come across people that really, like, try to fix or make my shit different.
Yeah.
Which I ain't mad at. Like, I'm down for critique. I'm down for, like, collaboration and shit like that. I do that stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's a weird stigmatism there. You know what I'm saying? I think that sometimes when I come to people's studios, they want to pick my brain to see where my head's at first. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? To make sure I'm on the same page as them or whatever. Yeah. But
is that weird? Like, you get in a studio with people you don't know? Prior?
Not too much, because I just get in there and just start playing music for them. Like, if it's somebody I don't know, a lot of times I just start playing the records and let the records play.
Okay.
But a lot of times they'll be like, oh, this shit is hot. And then we get to talking about that. And the next thing you know, we're off on a tangent. And we go to talking about some real life or some regular shit. And it's just like, oh, shit, I could gel with this human being. You know what I mean?
How important is that chemistry, though?
To me, it's probably one of the things that it can be...
Sounded like such an interviewer question.
Oh, my God. That's real shit. It can be a gift and a curse.
Yeah.
And I say that to say this, is there's been so many studio sessions I've been in where all I did was do what me and you are doing right now, and that is we sit there and we talk for fucking hours.
Yeah.
And that can be good because it breaks ice. It makes for a better connection between artists.
When the music does start.
Yeah. If the music starts. I think that's the scariest part, is that if the music starts. Because sometimes you'll walk out of the situation and it's like, damn, nothing got made here.
Right, right, right.
A whole lot of progress as far as relationship got made, but as far as music, nothing happened.
Yeah.
And it's happened. I remember when I was recording Saturday, I wanted T-Rab on Saturday 7 so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I brought him to the studio.
I was going to ask you, he's not on the Lament? Or the Lament, what is it? How do you say it?
The Lament.
Layman's.
The Lament. It's
Lament. That's him?
Yeah. No.
That's not him?
He hasn't done one yet, nah.
It sounded like him.
Nah.
Who was that?
I have D-Mob. I have Schwoogie.
No, on the 7. That wasn't
on
him?
On 7. No. He's not on 7.
Why did that sound just like him?
It's crazy. He came to the studio. We had a bomb-ass conversation.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Obviously, you know what I'm talking about.
The second half of it, or... Seven, I think it was is him Schwoogie.
Rapping. I thought it was him rapping. But it doesn't say his name on the track.
Schwoogie's Lament. I think that's 7, if I'm not mistaken.
Nah, bro.
Schwoogie's Lament.
Hold up.
Schwoogie is
I got it right here.
Bomb ass skateboarder who
Smooth's
just
Smooth's Lament.
Yeah, Smooth. That's Schwoogie.
That sounds just like T-Rap. I was like,
that's crazy. Yeah, no, that's.
Am I wrong? Am I tripping?
Yeah, you're tripping. Because that's Smooth. Smooth is incredible.
Maybe it's a different Saturday.
He's part of the same faction, though. Like, we all were part of Kill Off. Smooth is one of the homies from the skate park.
Okay.
Back, like, when me and the homies used to visit the skate park, it'd be kids that'd be freestyling and shit, and it'd be like Jerry, Smooth, Thelonious, you know? Just different people. I mean, sometimes it'd be some one-offs too that like didn't go on to rap, you know.
Yeah,
but they just love to freestyle and do crazy shit.
Yeah.
So,
do you feel the love in the city? Do you feel like? Because
I do.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody ever really throws me too much shade.
Nah, I don't see. I don't know how they could. You've contributed beyond measure, bro.
Yeah.
To the Las Vegas scene.
Yeah.
I
mean, the shade that gets thrown is generally people who are not in a position to be throwing shade.
Right, that's
in the
how usually goes.
First place.
You feel appreciated. You feel appreciated.
Of course. I think that sometimes I get in my own head because I be so introverted in trying to perfect my craft that I think that like people don't want to work with me, and it happens. You know what I'm saying? But at the same sense, like, there'll be like reassuring moments that happen where I'm like, bro, you're just in your head. Get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
That's really what it boils down to.
Yeah. I mean, like we were talking about earlier with the social media and all that shit, you know, and being an artist and, you know, because you're vulnerable as an artist.
Always.
You know, and then you're putting it out for everybody, and then all people really have for you is an opinion.
It's crazy, bro. I've been to theme parks and kids have fucking like recognized me.
Oh shit, you know what I'm saying? Scary.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
That's dope though. That's super dope.
Yeah, I mean it's incredible. People notice you me think, at swap meets.
Do you think
people,
you want to be famous?
Nah, because I'll tell you, anytime that shit happens, it makes me super nervous. I get reckless. I think the wrong thing first. I think
paranoid.
Worst case scenario first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, I remember we were at Knott's Berry Farm. It was just me and my little brother, and some kid screamed out, like, I know who you are. And I don't know why, but my brain was just like, dude, am I going to have to fight somebody in front of my little brother?
For real.
You know what I'm
saying?
It just made me feel weird. But then I turned around, and it's like his mom was there talking about how much they fucking, you know.
Yeah.
He talks about my music and stuff like that. And it was just like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
It's crazy, huh?
Yeah, oh, dude, like I went to Disneyland, the California Adventure, the one across the street, across the park or whatever. And the Tower of Terror, I was like getting on that shit. Mm-hmm. This was the wildest one. There was this kid. He's in line waiting. And he's quiet at first, you know, he didn't say shit to me, but you could tell he was like trying to like see if I was who I was, kind of shit.
Yeah. That goes, awkward moment. Yeah.
And he goes, can I get a picture with you, man? And I was like, what? And like, I'm wearing like I'm on my anniversary. So I got the anniversary Mickey Mouse button. I'm wearing like a button up shirt that's got like Mickey Mouse's all over or some goofy shit like that.
Yeah.
But, the kid's like
looking all cute and shit.
Yeah, yeah, like a fucking a whole nerd.
Yeah,
and it's crazy because this fucking kid is like causing pandemonium in the fucking crowd because people are like trying to figure out who I am, why he wants to take a picture with me, and so in the mix of him trying to get a picture of me, there's like five other people that are trying to get pictures with me.
Oh shit!
Off the strength, this kid is telling them that I'm like some famous rapper, and I'm like, nah.
Do you get comparisons?
To other famous rappers?
Yeah.
Not too often.
Okay. You don't get like the white rapper comparison?
I used to, yeah. When that was a thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now there's such an oversaturation of white rappers, I don't think it's a thing anymore. Like, it used to be a stigmatism, you know, if you were a white rapper. Even my dad, dude. Like, when my dad saw me taking this serious, he couldn't take me serious.
Mm.
And so he would say little things that would trigger me because it would be like
he was hating on you a little bit?
Well, he would say things like, oh, you know, there's only one white rapper that's ever made it. And that's a goddamn lie because there's so many white rappers who have made it before Eminem did. Like way before Eminem did, there were white rappers.
Beastie Boys.
Of course,
it's
the biggest group in the world.
Come on, man.
But there's like MC Search and, you know, the third base
Vanilla
kids,
Ice. Vanilla Ice.
And those are just the big ones. You know what I'm saying? Those are just the big acts. Like there's so many little acts that were white that like they came out to, you know, Lil White is a perfect, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many acts. And the reason why it was such a peculiar moment for me as far as, like, him triggering me and shit is because, like, from that moment on, him saying shit like that to me, I would always be like, bro, I can't wait till I rock the biggest stage ever. I'm gonna make sure you're there in the front fucking row so you see how passionate I am about the shit. And I shit you not, first show I do it like House of Blues.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. With Dizzy Wright, fucking so many good artists on the bill. It was crazy. And fucking my dad, I'm like, I got three backstage passes. I'm gonna get you back there. And he's like, all right, cool. And I get him back in the back of House of Blues. And it's like, it's a total, like, he became a fan that night.
Yeah,
he literally like watched girls crying singing my songs, and he's like, dude, I didn't know you had that kind of impact. And I'm like, bruh, come on, fuck with me, dad. Ever since, dude, he's been a fan. He loves it.
So that's dope, amazing. Though that from an early age, that kind of motivated you more.
Yeah, and I don't know if he was just bullshitting me and like joking.
I think part of it is like
Our parents don't want us to be failures because they're grown and they know that they didn't pursue their dreams and go the route that they expected to go.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want you to go down a route that, I mean, I think they secretly all want way better for us than we're actually.
It's natural though.
Given.
That's natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, from a parent perspective, you know, if my kid started rapping, I don't know how I'd feel. But I mean, I guess it just depends on his dedication level, you know.
Yeah.
That really.
But
that
then
really
there's like, okay, so on the other side of that, there's artists who are parents who never really became successful themselves.
Mm.
They build successful artists mm-hmm. because they let their kid become an artist. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of wild, man. There's yeah. two sides to that
spectrum. It's a weird dynamic. Yeah, it's a weird dynamic.
It's wild.
Yeah, man. What else you got going on, man? What else you want to talk about?
I mean, as far as Saturday, I don't know where I'm going with that. I'm selling hella beats right now on my website. Oh, so, yeah. like, that's kind of where my head's at.
Trade Voorhees.
Maybe trying to get some placements. Maybe trying to, I don't know, like, do my beat work. I'm trying to move that shit. Yeah. So, yeah. like, sync licensing. Like, I got a couple new records that are
what's ready
for sync licensing. So, that's, like, to get your music into, like, TV and movies and stuff like that. Okay. I got a good friend who like I send beats and I send, you know, samples to and stuff like that, like samples that I've created. Mm-hmm. Like I send them to him and I see if he can like flip them and stuff like that. And he'll, you know, send me stuff that he thinks I can flip and we kind of like go back and forth. But he's the one who really has the in on the sync licensing. Like he does music for like The Hills and
TVs. And
so many shows. Okay, show his shit's popping, popping. Yeah, like he lives.
I've always been interested in that game. Oh, licensing. Really?
Yeah. Me, I just get a little bit of residual here and there.
Have you ever been to? Did you go to the CSN for music, business, and technology?
Not for music. Nah, I went for journalism. Dumbass, right? Stupid. That just shows you where I was at in my head.
You're mad I asked that question. Yeah. That's funny.
And what's crazy is, you know who DJ Final is?
Final?
Yeah, DJ Final.
F-I-N-Y-L?
Yeah, it looks like I've Final, but with an F.
I've heard of him.
And he went to CSN the same time I did, and I think he took that. Like, that's what he was going through. Because he was able to get into that studio. He was able to, like...
Yeah. Well, so I was...
They got a dope-ass studio. So,
yeah, I took that class. I took the music, business, and technology class for a semester. And I'm just not good at school, bro. I'm not good at showing up for it. I'm not good at doing my assignments. I'm not good at none of that. Yeah. And
my psychology professor called me a jackass because I passed my final like with flying colors, but like 90% of his grade was showing up to class, and so he's like, I can't believe you're such a jackass. Like he's like, you got the curriculum, you're good, but like you sucked at showing up to school. So
why is that part of the grade, idiot? Isn't it, like, am I supposed to know the shit?
It's psychology. You know what I'm saying? You know how psychology professors are, bro. Man. They're crazy, dude. They're crazy. School's They're maniacal. He used to always, like, when I did come into class, I'd have, like, my laptop out. And like you said, I was bad at school, like you. So, like, instead of being... you know, in the class, I'd have my little headphone in and like
you're there, but you're not there.
You know what I'm saying? I'm on my FL studio and shit.
Yeah. Well, no, I bring up that music, business, and technology class at CSN because the teacher, I forgot his name, but that's what he did. He like scored movies and scored shows and
it's good shit, man.
Yeah.
And you can make a living off it. The real thing though is there's a lot of old fuckers who are still in the game, haven't keeled over, and they're getting the big good jobs that most of these kids who are learning their craft can't get because their names are notoriety in the score world is important because if you can score a film really good, you'll be able to score 10 films really good. You know what I'm saying? So like people will call you when they see like they see that film and that soundtrack that they want.
Yeah, they don't want to take a risk on somebody Yeah, but there's a lot more options now for people to do
like Tyler the Creator did with that Grinch, you know what I'm saying? Like, bro, I want a piece of that action, you know what I'm saying?
Bro, I got some short films in the works.
Hey, man, if you ever need music, I got you.
No, I need music.
You know it. Like, for sure. I'm telling you, make these jingles. I know I can make some regular music.
Hey, my mom's friend has a pool company. Maybe you can make
some. If they need a radio commercial, let them know.
I'm going to tap in. All right, man, let's wrap it up. I appreciate you coming through, man.
Hell yeah.
You're a Las Vegas legend, bro.
I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. I want to make sure everybody knows who the fuck Trey Voorhees is. If you didn't know, you should know, stupid.
Yeah, TreyVoorhees.com, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Fuck with me on the website if you are a rapper or a singer or a musician. I got beats on my website for sale for a really low price because I don't give a fuck. Keep it real. It's not about licensing or it ain't about, you know, leasing or exclusivity of the beats or anything. I be rapping over those same beats, You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, we can, you know, continue to make music over the same shit. It's not a problem. Like, and in the same sense, like, the beats themselves, like, if you rock with them, hit me up in a DM or the, you know, hit me on an email or something and holla at me if you want something unique, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's real easy to be a human being. I think in 2020, a lot of us think the internet speaks for us. Mm-hmm. Be a human being, man. It's easy to reach out to a person and be a human being, man. Like, especially on these social media platforms, don't sit in the dark and think that, you know, someone's gonna, you know, I don't know, like,
give you the golden ticket,
right? Exactly. Yeah, on the strength that you just rap or you just sing or
because you look cool on the internet.
Yeah, man, holla, man. Yeah. Talk to a human being, you know what I mean? Be a human being, and at the end of the day you might get a human being interaction. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I mean, at the end of the day, like, I'm not here to, like, really sell anything today or anything like that. Like, I plug my website with no true decorum, to be honest.
I'll probably plug your website more than you will. So,
but in the same sense, like, if you've ever, you know, if you've never gotten a chance to listen to my music or anything like that, all my stuff's on all the DSPs, on the Spotify. You know, if you got Tidal, for real, listen to my music, because, man, we make bread.
Most. Yeah, they paid them. Hold up. Before we cut this off, we were talking before about you want to take all your music off DSPs.
Yeah.
Why?
It doesn't make enough bread. And not that it doesn't make enough bread. It's not getting listened to on those platforms the way that I thought they might. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, I know I have some fans that are, like, go to the DSPs after they've bought my albums on, like, the website.
Yeah.
But a lot of my devoted fans, they go straight to my website and buy my album on the website because they want to make sure they're supporting me full, you know, wholeheartedly rather than, you know, giving me pennies on the dollar.
Right.
And I thank them for that, you know, wholeheartedly, because at the end of the day, without them, I wouldn't even, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even be putting the shit on the internet, keep it real. Because, like, I can just keep all this music to myself. I enjoy making it, so, and I enjoy listening to it myself. So. Yeah,
that's an interesting perspective, man. But I think you should keep it on there.
Yeah.
Just for new fans, you know?
Yeah.
For exposure.
I'm going to keep it real. I keep getting negative responses when I'm like, I'm going to take that shit off the DSPs. Nah, man, you don't understand. I'll be bumping your shit.
You got to put it everywhere, man, really. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's no, like, negative. I don't see no negative putting it everywhere.
I'm just more so algorithms, man. The AI is changing, and you know, the way I make music, you know.
It is. The algorithms.
I'm a source guy, you know what I mean? Yeah. I find good sources. I make good material off those sources, and then, you know, hope to God that, you know, my shit stays under the radar for the rest of my life so that I don't ever have to worry about some
We need, like, a computer nerd to come in for us and change the algorithm.
Because,
you know, like, Soulja Boy, in a sense, changed the algorithm.
He's
like...
The stories he tells,
he was ahead of his time, bro. Yeah, he was ahead of his time.
Doesn't surprise me. That's how you monopolize, man. If you come up with a clever idea that nobody else has come up with, bro. You talking about the LimeWire shit?
Mm-hmm.
Smartest motherfucker ever, bro.
If you today can make your album, make Saturday... Any one of the your profile, whatever, come up when somebody types in DaBaby.
It'd be a wrap.
And it's possible,
bro. It's a
nice
blueprint. I'm telling you, it's such a beautiful blueprint. Like, I remember that day, that time period when you would open up a file of a song you thought you downloaded, and it's actually something else, yeah. He learned that from somebody else. That's not something that Soulja Boy did and is like, oh my God, that guy's a genius.
He took it to another level.
A lot
level.
Of people were doing that on LimeWire. You would download all kinds of, like, 50 cents and shit and get the wrong. You'd
That's
be
what
so
it was.
Pissed.
Always, it was always 50
you'd
cents.
Wait 30, you'd wait 30 minutes to download a song and then you click on it and it'd be some bullshit. And you'd be like, ah.
Taking up all your computer storage and shit.
Let me go search it again another and go find
virus.
Another copy.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you coming through, bro.
Yes, sir.
Thank you
for having me, bro.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate this like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
I hope I talked about good shit. I feel like I just rambled.
Great conversation.
Hell yeah.
We probably got to do it again.
Yeah.
I'm going to take one of them chocolate bars and we can come back.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Till next time, man.
Hell yeah.
Peace.
Be safe.
Holla.
Gang, gang.